2 Timothy, starting at verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Amen.
Very good evening. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we come in your presence and we just praise you and we just give you thanks for what you are doing in our midst, what you are doing in our hearts and in our lives. This evening, Father Lord, as we open your word in 2 Timothy chapter 2, help us that we may be able to learn and we may be able to see what you are teaching us here. I pray as I deliver this message that the Holy Spirit of God may be our teacher this evening. And we may behold the wondrous things out of your law. We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty and strong name. Amen. I wonder what motivates you to achieve your goals in life. Each one of us who is present here this evening, we all have, to some extent, some goals, aims, and objectives in life. Whether you are a student, you are a professional, or you are an athlete. I believe all of us set certain goals in our lives to achieve. In a few weeks' time, we will be heading towards the time of the year when we all try to write some New Year resolutions. And I believe that most of us will probably forget those resolutions after writing them in the beginning of next year. It is good practice to make plans. It is good practice to organize ourselves or think and set different goals in our lives. But you would agree with me that most of us do a better job in planning, but we lack in motivation to do it. Virat Kohli is an Indian cricket player. He is widely regarded as one of the greatest batsmen in the history of the sport. In the beginning of his international career, he was out of shape and carrying too much weight. He was not a good athlete. In one of his interviews, Virat Kohli mentions this. He said, "One morning after playing a game in IPL, I saw myself in the mirror. And I was ashamed. I was eating and sleeping horribly. My habits were all over the place, and I spoke to myself in the mirror. If I want to play cricket for my country and compete at the highest level, I will have to change my habits. And from next day forward, I changed everything. My diet, my training, and from then on, it was just an obsession." Kohli was motivated to change his habits because his eyes were focused on achieving his goals. What motivates us as Christians to keep focused on the end goal of Christian life? Despite of the sufferings, challenges, and trials in life, what motivates us as Christians to faithfully suffer for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Keep this thought in mind as we look into our passage this evening. Before we look into verses 8 to 13, as Lorraine has just read in chapter 2, let me give you some background on this chapter. If you were here a couple of Sundays ago, Brother Will helpfully drew our attention to three overlapping images that we find in verses 1 to 9 in this chapter. We learned that Apostle Paul strengthened Timothy to share in the suffering of Christ like a good soldier, like an athlete, and like a farmer. He reminds Timothy that a good soldier wants to please his commanding officer. A good soldier also focuses on military responsibilities and avoids less important affairs in life. Likewise, Paul warns Timothy to embrace the challenges and sufferings that are in his particular battlefield. As one of Jesus' loyal and faithful soldier, Timothy must be looking to please his commanding officer, Jesus Christ. Paul also gives an image from athletic games. He urges Timothy that an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Likewise, as a true disciple of Jesus Christ, Timothy needs to work like an athlete and follow the rules to win the prize. And lastly, we see he gives an image of a farmer. A farmer is patient, persistent, and hardworking. So Timothy, as a good gospel worker, needs to be patient, he needs to be persistent, and he needs to be hardworking. In chapter 2 in this epistle, we see a theme of faithful suffering or enduring suffering, which flows out of this chapter. Look into your Bibles in this chapter. If we see on verse 3 in chapter 2, here Paul writes, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." If we move down in verse 9, we see the same theme. Here Apostle Paul writes, "For which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound." And similar theme we read in verse 10. Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus." In verse 12, we read, If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. In first 7 verses of this chapter, Apostle Paul tells Timothy to faithfully suffer for the sake of the gospel. And in verses 8 to 13, he explains why he should do it. In these verses, Paul gives two motivations to Timothy and for us to suffer faithfully for the sake of the gospel. We will unpack these verses from verses 8 to 13 in two main points. First of all, we will see suffer faithfully for the furtherance of the gospel. And we find this from verses 8 to 10. Here Paul writes, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Here in the beginning of verse 8, Paul writes to Timothy that remember Christ whom we preach. He is risen. His tomb is empty, and he is not in his grave anymore, as he told his disciples. Here Apostle Paul emphasizes on this truth because it is of the first importance. He reminds Timothy of this truth because if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our faith is worthless and we are still in our sins. He reminds Timothy that this is important to remember as you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, remember you are preaching about the person who is not dead. He is alive. Because if he is dead, then there is no difference in Jesus Christ or other religious leaders. They all are the same then. So he encourages Timothy that remember this, that you are preaching about Christ who is not dead. He is alive. He is risen. And secondly, he explains to Timothy that Timothy, that the same Jesus Christ whom we preach is the offspring of David. His human descent from David speaks of royalty and majesty. It also speaks of his humanity as our sympathetic and merciful high priest who knows all our sufferings and pain. The author of Hebrews writes, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. There is no suffering we can experience that our Lord cannot relate to. He has been there. He has faced the trials, the sufferings, and the pain, and understands what you are going through, Timothy. Paul writes, he faces sufferings because of preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 8b, Paul writes, in the beginning of verse 9, Apostle Paul writes, "For which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal." And here he is reminding Timothy that the reason that he has been suffering, he has been chained, he has been in prison, it is because the message that he has been preaching, the message of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He gives his own example that he is willing to put his life on the line because he knows whom he serves. What sufferings Apostle Paul had endured during his earthly ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 29, Apostle Paul gives us the list of the sufferings that he gone through. Paul gives an account of all the sufferings he endured faithfully for the furtherance of the gospel. He writes, he had countless beatings, beaten with rods. He was stoned. He faced shipwreck. He had many sleepless nights. He was in hunger and thirst, exposed to cold. Aside from all that, he has pressure and anxiety for all the churches that he has planted. After all this, Paul was prepared to pay the price. He was motivated to face whatever was necessary for proclaiming the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He was willing to endure sufferings in any way necessary for the sake of the elect. He writes, "Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Paul motivates Timothy to faithful suffer for the sake of the elect. This phrase, "the elect," mentioned here and in other references in the Word of God as well, are those whom God has predestined to salvation. We read in Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, we read, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved." And the reason Apostle Paul was willing to endure sufferings and everything for them was that with the hope that they will also obtain the exact same salvation and will become brothers and sisters in Christ. He writes that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And he gives his own example to Timothy, and he shares with him that the suffering that is needed to share the gospel with the people, those are elect by God. And that's why I have been going through these sufferings, and I want you to follow the same pattern. I want you to follow the same act as suffering for those, remembering them that they will come to the gospel of Jesus Christ as well. It is possible that Timothy had become somewhat fearful in his ministry. He faced difficulties and oppositions at Ephesus, both from within and without the church. We also learn that in AD 64, a huge fire was erupted in Rome. As a result, most of the temples and public buildings were destroyed. Historians believe that Nero himself had started the fire because of his love for buildings, and he wanted to build Rome again. Build it better for his own glory. He used Christians as a scapegoat and made them responsible for starting the fire. The persecution against Christians had already started in Ephesus before the great fire in Rome, but this blame from Nero probably made Christians more vulnerable in Ephesus. Thus, Paul wanted to ensure that Timothy will not walk away because of the persecution, because of the sufferings that Christians were going through. He did not want Timothy to take a break from ministry until the heat dies down. We know that throughout the history of the church, the cost of preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ has been high. Millions upon millions have suffered for the cause of Christ, and many have laid down their lives for the sake of the elect. The great reformer John Huss was not ashamed of his Lord, and he was willing to pay the ultimate physical price. In 1415, when he was a pastor in Prague, he was arrested and sentenced to burn at a stake for preaching the true gospel. As the flames engulfed his body, he quoted Psalm 25, verse 2, praying, "O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." He was not afraid of dying for the cause of Christ. So what sort of sufferings might we endure for the sake of the elect? What does that look like for ordinary Christians in Scotland? Some of us may face rejection and denial by our families, friends, or work colleagues for maybe they get offended because of the gospel that we preach or the gospel that we believe. Take a minute to think about places like Pakistan, like India, Iran, where Christians are constantly attacked, persecuted, and excluded in society because of their Christian beliefs and values. But still, compared to what Apostle Paul suffered or what other believers have suffered over the years, I think it is nothing to what they have faced. As believers, how we respond to such news, how we respond to the news when we hear that in places like Pakistan, where the churches have to be closed because of the fear of the Muslims that they can burn the church or they can kill the Christians. What is our response when we hear such news? Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 20, Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my words, they will also keep yours. Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. When we are persecuted for proclaiming the gospel, it should not surprise us, because our Lord already has said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. It should encourage us, and it should strengthen us in our faith, so we are willing to faithfully suffer for the furtherance of the gospel, that the elect may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. It should not surprise us when we hear that people are offended because of what we believe. It should not surprise us, but we should be thankful to God that we go through the suffering and we are able to believe in the gospel and preach the gospel of Christ, that the elect may come in the kingdom of God. We move on to our next point, which is suffer faithfully in anticipation of the future glory. Suffer faithfully in anticipation of the future glory. We find this in verses 11 to 13. Look into your Bibles, verses starting from verse 11. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. These verses may have been used as a creed in the early church or sung as a hymn. This phrase, the saying is trustworthy, and the following verses support all that Paul has been saying in chapter 2 so far. In verses 11 to 13, he exhorts Timothy and all the believers so to follow the example of Christ. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. In other words, our lives and ministries must imitate the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. In other words, it is a reminder that if we have died with him and if we are born again, we are going to live with him as well. It is a reminder that the Christ who has died for us, and because of him, we have everlasting life. We will live with him forever as well. It is suffering now and glory later. It is opposite to what false gospel teachers promise. They proclaim that the promise of the gospel is prosperity. They claim that the promise of the gospel will bring happiness, joy, and everything that you can imagine in your life. They claim that the promise of the gospel is suffering never, glory now. But Paul's point is, when we are willing to faithfully suffer and die to ourselves, we can expect to live with him in glory forever. What an anticipation. One day we will reign with Christ Jesus forever and ever. To share in the reign of Christ, his glory, would have been a great encouragement for the gospel worker like Timothy. And it is a great encouragement for us as well. However, following traditions, enduring suffering or pain does not protect or gain our salvation. As in some religions, people endure suffering and pain so they can gain the favor of their God. Biblical salvation is not guarded or protected when we face suffering for the cause of Christ. Salvation is completely a work of God. His grace is at work as we put our faith in the gospel. The scripture tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works." Our salvation is entirely the work of God and his gift. Our salvation is secure in the precious blood of Christ and not in result of our works or in our sufferings. Paul reminds Timothy, if we faithfully endure hardships and sufferings in the present world, we can anticipate to share Christ's heavenly reign over the new creation. In verse 12, he writes, if we endure, we will also reign with him. This truth would have been more than sufficient for Timothy and for Paul the apostle to carry them through discouragement and opposition they faced in their time. However, there is a negative counterpart to this as well that we see in these verses. Our refusal to die to ourselves or suffer for the cause of Christ, as we see some examples of this in this letter, in chapter 1, verse 15, we read that in chapter 1, verse 15, you are aware that all who are in Asia turn away from me, among whom are Phileges and Hermogenes. In chapter 4, verse 10, Apostle Paul reminds Timothy that for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Here in the verse 12, we have already read this verse. Here Paul reminds that when it comes to the final judgment, God will also deny those who have denied him in this world. And verse 13, we see that if we are faithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This verse reinforces this stark warning. Even if we are faithless in our character, the Lord Jesus is always faithful, true and consistent to his word. He will fulfill his promise of verse 12, but he will indeed disown the apostate. We see the eschatological focus of this trustworthy saying in these verses. It adds positively to Paul's exhortation and encouragement to Timothy. It would have been a great hope to Timothy, and it is a great hope for us today that there is a glorious future in store for those who remain faithful in suffering for the sake of the gospel. Paul gave two motivations to Timothy: to proclaim the gospel of Christ and faithfully endure suffering. This exhortation and motivation would have made a huge difference in Timothy's ministry. Over the centuries, so many individuals have proclaimed the gospel and faithfully suffered for the cause of Christ, and so the gospel came to us. John Gibson Payton is a great example of a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. He was a Scottish missionary. He trained at medical school and spent 10 years serving with Glasgow City Mission before responding to the call to be missionary in the New Hebrides in the Pacific. Mr. Payton worked among cannibals in the New Hebrides. He writes in his autobiography that one dear old Christian gentleman sought to deter him to go to a certain place. His argument was, "You will be eaten by cannibals." "At last, I replied," Mr. Payton writes, "Mr. Dixon, you are advanced in years now, and your own prospect is soon to be laid in the grave, there to be eaten by worms. I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, It will make no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms. And in the greater day, my resurrection body will arise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer. What caused Mr. Peyton to be willing to risk his life to work amongst cannibals? He was willing to risk his life for the sake of the elect, so they may enter into the kingdom of God, and his anticipation that he will reign with Christ forever and ever. Dear brothers and sisters, I would encourage you to stay steadfast in proclaiming the gospel despite the challenges and sufferings you might face. Faithfully suffer for the cause of Christ. Proclaiming the gospel to others must be our main goal and objective in life. To follow the example of Christ, who suffered and died before he rose. Let it not be our only New Year resolution, just to remember it for a short time and then forget about it. It must be our lifestyle. Remember, Paul gave two motivations in this chapter. Suffer faithfully for the furtherance of the gospel. Suffer faithfully in anticipation of the future glory. Let's pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who suffered, who died, but he rose again on the third day. And because of his work on the cross, we can be reconciled back to God. And Father, Lord, thank you so much for this reminder in this chapter, as Apostle Paul writes, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Help us that we may remember this truth, and we may look forward for the time when we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ and reign in glory forever and ever. We ask in Jesus' mighty and strong name.